It's time to talk about Las Vegas with Ira. Each week, Ira David Sternberg talks with the celebrities, entertainers, writers, and personalities who make Las Vegas the most exciting city in the world. And now, here's Ira.
Today I'm talking with a performer whose voice and stage presence have entertained audiences on Broadway and beyond. And beyond in this case is Las Vegas, where actress and singer Ashley Loren performs in Myron's at the Smith Center this Saturday, April 25th at 7 p.m. Ashley is best known to theater lovers as the longest running Satine in the Broadway hit musical Moulin Rouge, the musical, where her powerhouse vocals and emotional performances brought the iconic character to life night after night on one of the world's biggest stages. Now she's bringing that same energy and artistry to Las Vegas for a special evening of music and storytelling. For ticket information, go to thesmithcenter.com. And to learn more about Ashley, go to ashleyloren.com and follow her on Instagram and YouTube. And Ashley, welcome to Talk About Las Vegas.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. So there's that big dispute, you know, it's nationwide now, Loren or Loren.
And so, I know.
I think I nailed it, like Sophia.
It's like Loren, like Sophia, but I tend to like not correct people. Maybe I have to get better at that. I don't know.
I would correct people.
I know. You told me to correct you if you had said it wrong. So I appreciate that. You opened the door for me to be okay with that.
For future interviews, just say ahead of time, by the way, the last name is pronounced as in Sophia.
As in Sophia,
That way. Okay. The most important question is, how in the world did you go from a farm girl in Indiana to the Broadway stage? Okay, I made up the first part.
But what it's like, well, I mean, but fun fact, my friend.
Yes.
I grew up in New Jersey, but I did go to farm camp for 3 years.
There you go. How do I know these things? It's amazing.
How did you know this? Yeah. It might not be Indiana, but I did go to farm camp. I prefer animals to humans. I went last summer and cuddled cows. Have you ever?
No, like, I would love to cuddle cows, and I haven't even done sheep or goat yoga, but maybe cow.
Well, what time's a ticking?
Yeah. All right. I will.
Time's ticking. I mean, jokes aside, I do want to live on a farm and have tons of animals and sing to them nonstop.
Excellent.
But I grew up in New Jersey, and I have Lyme disease. I have chronic neurological Lyme disease. I was diagnosed as a young child, and it was music and theater sort of became my escape to in my little child brain to be like okay with who I was, because I was playing pretend every day. I mean, we could analyze it, psychoanalyze it all you want, but art became such a therapy for me at such a young age. So I started singing, I was writing music, I was writing poems, doing community theater, things like that. So all through school, I, was always sort of commuting back and forth to New York for lessons or whatnot. I just kind of said yes to everything that came my way. I was always available and open to new fun experiences, whether it be doing backgrounds for pop stars or reality shows at the time. Right out of high school, I deferred college and I signed to Universal Music Group as a solo artist, and started doing my own music journey at a very sort of tender right out of high school age. And then after that, I just sort of said yes to so many things. I became a demo singer for a composer named Frank Wildhorn. And from there on, I was doing a lot of the demos for shows that were leaning more pop music wise, because it was in the, you know, the 2010s, 2012s, all of that time when musical theater was sort of exploring the pop genre that we so often see on Broadway now. So I was doing a lot of demos and stuff like that, and I was auditioning, and I ended up booking my first Broadway show in 2012, Jekyll and Hyde, the revival, and I went on tour with that. So between doing music and having my hand in theater and shows, I was also singing backup for people, traveling the world, doing all the fun things, just sort of getting to learn and know myself as we all continue to do for the rest of our lives. But yeah, it took me all sorts of places. It also landed me in LA for a certain period of time, and it landed me in Las Vegas for a show called Baz, Star-Crossed Love.
I remember that one,
which was a very, it was so good. I miss it every day. Some of the most talented people I've ever worked with in that show, such a beautiful creative environment and sort of just a very warm Las Vegas experience that I am so happy to return and say hi to some new and old friends. And then Moulin Rouge Broadway actually took me back to New York from the West Coast.
You say that very modestly, but as I mentioned, Satine, is you've been probably the longest running character role there than anybody.
And also I played Satine in Baz Vegas. So I've been living with this girl for a really long time. I love her deeply and I've learned and grown so much. So when the show first opened, they were looking for a standby for the wonderful woman who was cast as Satine for the opening of the Broadway production in 2019. So I had a long audition process for that, but ended up booking it. So I had been on many times for her, slowly went from standby, which is someone who's not on every day, but is solely there to stand by for the lead when the lead can't go on. And then after that, it pretty swiftly became alternate, which meant that I split weeks with her doing the show as Satine.
You got your foot in the door.
And then I took over for the role.
You got your foot in the door at that point.
Yeah, it's amazing because also the show had been sort of existing. They had done their out of town run in Boston around the tail end of when I was finishing my time in Vegas. Right. So it was already sort of a working magical piece. And so I was lucky enough to join as the original in the original Broadway company.
I'm intrigued by the fact that because you started out by talking about Lyme disease, and I know you're heavily involved in the nonprofit world in that area, but the fact that you're able to, some people that would get a diagnosis of any kind would, not they would give up doing stuff, but they would do it at a reduced pace or speed or effort.
Yeah,
you're going full guns.
When I can, yeah. I mean, yeah. I think if I were to be diagnosed with it now at this part of my life, it would be very different from being so young and sort of learning how to adapt and know my body in a certain way and like grow up with it. So it takes a very sort of, and it's not something that I really spoke about often until I had a flare up when I was in Moulin Rouge in 2022 and actually had to leave the show for 6 weeks to recover and sort of get better to return to the show. And within that time, it was dark and it was really difficult. And I decided to be open and share my journey with, you know, the fans of Moulin Rouge and social media. And there was an article on People Magazine about it. I felt like I had a platform to sort of talk about this thing and also reframe it for a lot of people. I think, you know, for the longest time, for the majority of my life, for the first 30, however many years, I sort of hid that part away because you don't want to ever be seen as like less than, or you don't want someone to not cast you because you're some kind of a liability, like if you're ill or whatever. But I think with this like depth of knowledge of illness, I think I was able to bring something to the role of Satine specifically, as well as like just art in general, that I think the more open you are to talk about the things that make you most uncomfortable or most insecure or the things that make you feel less than, those are usually the things that so many people out there are sort of hiding and keeping from the world. And there is a superpower that comes from being able to speak openly about your journey, because nobody else lives your life. And if it can inspire one person, two people, if it can give hope to someone who has an autoimmune disease, who's struggling in that moment in time with a flare up, to know that things can change and things can get better. And sure, you will have really great days and you will have really bad days, but your ability to know yourself well enough to be able to navigate life in general, let alone a life in the arts, is a superpower, and not many people can do it, but I don't think that we should be alone in having to figure it out.
Well, I think too, and I want to talk to you in a moment about your upcoming performance at the Smith Center. Yeah. But I would imagine while there and perhaps in other venues that you perform in, maybe not necessarily on Broadway because of the way it's structured. But when you do meet members of the audience after a show, if you're performing in a venue location, I bet you do get people that will come up to you and indicate that they were inspired by you publicly acknowledging the Lyme disease issue and that it's helped them deal with their particular situation.
Yeah. It is actually one of the number one things that is mentioned to me in letters, mail, in person, because I feel like so few people do it. And I think it's so important to really live authentically. And if I can't share my story, then why am I in the arts, first off? But also, like, I would be depriving myself and everybody around me just like the opportunity to be present and available to like what art can do and being open and honest and how that can change so many people's lives.
So it doesn't prohibit you from having a cat either.
It sure doesn't. Although I am also allergic to cats, but that doesn't stop me either.
Exactly right. For those who are watching, there may be an appearance of a cat. We'll see.
I know. I hope he comes out. His name is Mozart. He did the love of my life. Yeah, he was a pandemic. I got him right before the pandemic thinking, oh no, what am I going to do? We just opened a Broadway show. How am I going to navigate this with a little tiny kitten I rescued? Then the world shut down. And so I had plenty of time with this little boy. So
are you going to bring the cat to Las Vegas with you?
I wish, you know, I haven't flown with him. I'm nervous about it. Cause there's a cat's not a dog. You know what I mean?
I know. You're right.
But I think maybe next time.
In your dressing room, you know, while you're in
between. Yeah. Why not?
So when you put the show together, it's going to be April 25th in Myron's at the Smith Center.
Yeah.
Do you, and it's not just singing, but you're going to be talking about things as well. Is this show itself the format you've done before in other cities, or is it totally different, just specific?
I have done a similar format.
Right.
Like, it's definitely an intimate evening, just me and the piano. I think there are some things that are going to shift because as a little bit of more of an homage to Vegas specifically, and at least my time in Vegas, my journey, my learning, my growing, everything that has happened since then. Right. But yeah, I mean, it's just me, piano, the audience. Myron's does this so well. It's one of my favorite venues out there. Just stories, songs, honesty. I want to take you on a journey, not like a highlight reel of like the really cool things that I could have done, but like, you know, how I started, the detours, the setbacks, what I learned the hard way, sort of the moments that cracked me open. So there's pop music, there's musical theater music, things that tell a story. So I just feel like it's an intimate evening with songs that are sort of woven together with the narrative of my life thus far.
Actually, you mentioned about within that context, some of the hard things that cracked you open. Is there something that you, not to get too personal, but anything you can share besides the Lyme disease that you really struggled with before you got to a point where, because you come across to me as a very hard and dedicated, I'll use the word worker. It's an artist, but you're still working. And an artist still works very hard, but you've got especially a performing artist, rehearsals and creating and all that stuff. Is there one particular thing that happened, an incident or a situation that, not that it stopped you totally, but made you pause? And then all of a sudden you go, you know, I got to get past this.
Yeah, always. I think in my career in art, it's kind of the same things that I feel like we have to go through as a human being to sort of grow and evolve. I think, of course, my health issues and Lyme disease is like such a huge part of that for me specifically. But I think, you know, I think there's a little bit of like love letters to people who believed in me when I didn't believe in myself. I think a lot of it is about your own sense of self-worth. And it's really tricky in this industry. So, of course, there's things about love and life, but mostly about the journey towards learning how to embrace and fully love yourself so that you can be the best human, you know, putting yourself out there in the world, whether you're an artist or not. And that is not an easy road.
No, it's not. And what you said earlier about the business side of it on Broadway, when you're in that role in Moulin Rouge and you get sick and all of a sudden you can get second guessed by either the producers or the owners or the managers and go, you know, this is an insurance liability. Do we want to keep doing this? And so you have to take that into account. So it takes a lot of courage to go through that.
And also just by nature of the business in general, there's times when the highs are so high and the lows are so low because you're doing this like really amazing thing at night. And then you still have to go home and sit with yourself alone on your couch and live a normal life at the on the other side of it. And jobs are not, it's not like, you know, I have a very steady source of employment that's from now. I went to med school or whatever, and I will always work as a doctor. It's like a very specific choice to consciously choose something, knowing that there will be very large parts of time when you might not be working at all. And then what does that mean? How do you live? Like, you know, balance is tricky and hard and all of those things. And it's a life where there's a lot of sacrifice. You miss a lot of things for your friends. You miss almost all of the holidays. It's tricky to be in a relationship just because the schedule is really grueling. So I think that is also, you know, we're so blessed to be able to have this little like family of our cast or whatever that we see more than we see our own family or our own people. But with that, there's always a cost to things, right? So there's always something.
But there's that focus you have, and maybe the Lyme disease when you first were diagnosed focused you on that. You have a focus on what's important to you, which is your artistic and performing career, versus knowing the downside, which you just enumerated some of the examples of it. But you still stay steadfast on that goal, looking at that. This is my path. This is what I want to do as an artist.
Yeah. I feel like when things are aligned for you, I say this because I also teach, I do master classes. I really enjoy sort of learning and growing alongside these young adults that are also looking to be in the arts or just do it for fun. But I say that what's meant for you will never escape you. So I try and be open. And if things align for me, I trust the universe. I trust God, higher power, that like, if this is being presented to me, then it is for me. And if it is not, then it is not. And that is a really, it's a hard thing to do because rejection, you get rejected way more than not, especially in this industry. And it doesn't necessarily have to do with your talent. It could be anything.
Timing.
You know?
It could be just timing.
It's just timing. Yeah. It could be, I have brown eyes. You know what I mean? Like it truly can be anything. And a lot of the time it has absolutely nothing to do with you. So to be able to get to move through those moments is really important. And I think you just always, well, for me at least, I always have to check in with myself and be like, am I still having fun? Am I still able to play? Mm-hmm. Is it still bringing me joy? Do I miss it when I'm not doing it? And who knows? There could be a day when I'm like, you know what? Now's the time. I'm going to go get a farm and I'm going to go raise my cattle as pets. We don't eat the things that we name. But yeah, like, and have my chickens. And like, I watched this documentary about bees on TV that was like incredible. I'm like, why don't I have a beehive? So like, I don't know. I think it's a daily check-in, and it is something that I had to do being so sick. I have to wake up in the morning and feel like, how do I navigate whatever it is that I'm feeling today? This invisible thing that no one else can see, but I feel it. So how do I move forward today the best way that I can? And I think that, you know, that's the arts too.
Well, yeah. I mean, you think about it. If it's somebody else, they go, okay, I don't feel really great, but I am going to get out of bed and I am going to make breakfast. And I guess that's it for the day. You're going to get up, you're going to make a meal, and then you're going to go to Broadway and perform.
Yeah.
So it's a whole different.
And right. And also though, there is a deep sense, and this is a part of like the superpower that I think people who have autoimmune illnesses or diseases have, especially the invisible ones. You have to also be able to clock in with yourself. And there were days when I was like, I'm waking up, I don't know how I feel today. Let me have some coffee. Let me have some tea, eat some food, check in with myself. If I'm not feeling well enough to do the thing, this is a huge lesson too. Like, don't do the thing.
Yeah.
Because you have to listen to your body and you have to listen to your spirit. And that's the only way you're really going to be able to sort of grow and evolve and do right by yourself and the art form, is if you are able to do it, you know, always do your best, but like, don't push past the point of sacrificing your health or well-being.
Yeah. Now, health is, if you have your health, you don't think about it. But for people who don't have their health, they think about it because you have
daily.
To, because it's there, it's physical.
Right.
But I want to get back for a second to your performance coming up at the Smithsonian.
Yeah.
Before even that, for those interested in your masterclass, if they just go to ashleyloren.com, there's information on the masterclass.
There is.
So are you when you're on stage at Myron's, will you have, in addition to the piano, because you mentioned the piano, which you're flying out with, I think you bought 2 extra seats for the piano on the plane, if I remember the story correctly. Is that right?
Yes. we're trucking the baby grand.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Will you also have a cow on stage with you to cuddle with?
Yes. Okay. I am hoping to bring the cow and maybe the chicken.
Oh, very good. Okay.
So they can sing backup.
Yeah, and some farm songs I think would be good. McDonald had a farm. You could do that one.
Yes, perfect. Done. Adding it to the set.
Do you when you're performing, especially in Las Vegas, and you mentioned because it's old home week in a way. So I think half your audience are going to be people that work with you or knew you or saw you in previous productions here in Las Vegas. And plus, you're going to get new people that have seen you on Broadway and Moulin Rouge the musical or another venue. So you're going to have an interesting mix of audiences.
Yeah, I'm just thrilled to come back there and spend some time.
So do you structure it in the same way that you would do it in other cities and other venues? Meaning, are there parts of it that will be specifically Vegas-y? I use that term, it's in the dictionary.
I think it's all going to be sort of narrative based on like my life journey. So I think it is, it's woven together in the timeline, in the narrative of my life. So it's going to be Vegas as how it shaped Ashley. Not, you know, like it won't be any sort of review or anything like that, but it will be authentic and intimate in the way in which, you know, Vegas has affected my life.
Do you allow some of it within the performance to be extemporaneous or spontaneous?
Sure. Why not?
Well, no, I don't know. That's what I'm asking. You're asking.
I do. I think there's something important to, like, you know, I think the whole idea, the whole point of art is to tell your most authentic story in a way that other people can then see themselves in it. So I think, of course, there are stories that I will tell that are very specific to me, but also stories that are just specific to humans and that shared experience that we all have, you know.
I just didn't know whether or not it was so structured that you couldn't vary it if all of a sudden you saw somebody in the audience you recognize and that brought you an idea for a story that
Totally. We love improv.
Okay, good. That's what
it's for everyone. It is we're all going to be in my living room of Myron's for a short period of time. If there is an audience request, I mean, I don't know, but like I am open to everything. I just want it to be a very chill, intimate, fun time.
I know I was almost right with the farm thing because I said Indiana. I was wrong on the state, but I had the farm part right. So my next
question.
Which my next question will be that I know you're going to say, you know what? You're absolutely right. How did you know that? And that is, when are you going to finish your book?
You know what?
Yes.
You're not the first person to talk to me about this. Who knows? You know, maybe there is a book in my future.
Yes, I think so. I mean, you don't have to be 100 years old to write it, you know. There are people who write memoir number one at a certain age, memoir number two, 20 years later, memoir number three, 10 years later.
I think we should all be writing our memoir just for whether it's for the masses, the collective, or just for our families or for ourselves. Why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
Well, okay, fair enough. Of all the people that you've performed with and have interacted with and have met backstage, is there one or maybe two people that influenced you the most, had an impact on you, helped you even more focus than you are now in terms of your career and your performances? And it doesn't have to be a famous person. It just could be, a relative. It could be somebody said something to you that you hadn't thought about before and all of a sudden your direction shifted and you.
Yeah, my direction shifted. Yeah. I mean, I think there's been several people in my life, several influences in my life, maybe even just people who have inspired me from afar. I think It's funny enough, Shania Twain was a huge one for me. But I also think, you know, the cast that you work with, the people that you play off of on stage, I feel like, you know, I've been really lucky to have some really awesome, like partners in Moulin Rouge through my long journey with that show. And because it is a long running show, because I was a part of it for many, many years, I had many co-stars alongside me that were along for the ride of the journey together. And I think that, you know, you wake up every day, regardless of how you're physically feeling, you also have stuff on your mind. You have a life. Maybe you woke up, you're in a bad mood, you had a fight with someone, you broke up, you fell in love, like all of these things. We have this life. And then all of a sudden we have to sort of become whatever we need to be to put on the costume and play dress up for 2.5 hours. So I think it's so important to have people on stage with you that also share like a really special, you know, they know who you are on stage and off. And I feel really lucky to be able to have been supported in the many phases of my journey as a performer, as a human, and as an artist by people on stage and off that were my friends. And I think without them, you know, we lift each other up. If things happen on stage, like you never know what's going to happen on stage. Things go wrong all the time. You have to be able to deeply trust the people that you're sharing the stage with. And I feel like those are the most transformative relationships or the people that you share the stage with.
Well, that's a great way to leave it. My guest has been Ashley Loren, who performs in Myron's at the Smith Center this Saturday, April 25th at 7 p.m. And for ticket information, go to thesmithcenter.com. And to learn more about Ashley, go to ashleyloren.com and follow her on Instagram and YouTube. And Ashley, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
A pleasure. See you next time.
You've been listening to Talk About Las Vegas with Ira. Each week, Ira David Sternberg talks with the celebrities, entertainers, writers, and personalities who make Las Vegas the most exciting city in the world. Hey,